your favorite cartoon characters will help you understand how drugs and alcohol can ruin your life. So watch the program. Talk about it with your family.
Make the right
with Mike and Ethan, or
Elf will not be seen tonight.
We are finally returning to comic strip based media, which is of course our forte, so we're having a bit of a reunion. But that's a kind of a clumsy way to segue into the fact that we watched Snoopy's reunion.
I love a good Snoopy reunion. I love when the Snoopies all get together and reunionize.
I like the thought. I like that suggestion that it's not Snoopy reuniting with anyone but more Snoopies.
it's when they're forming a union. You know, it's like they want better treatment down at the old Snoopy factory, so they're all gonna picket and demand concessions.
And you know, and it's all different. All different iterations of Snoopy, like the version from the 50s where he mostly walked on his on all four legs, and then the version from the 90s where he mostly talked about cookies.
Oh, and then like the Zamboni driving version.
Oh, and the weird Japanese version. Oh, I want to talk about this. This is a weird thing that I just learned. I was listening to some other podcasts. Have you heard of a podcast called Under Understanding?
I can't believe you've been listening to other podcasts behind my back, Ethan. Well, I thought we were a monogamous thing here. No, I am not aware of this podcast. Please tell me.
Okay. Well, it's a podcast where they just, where they do deep dives into kind of everything, and it's very investigative. And there was an episode that immediately caught my eye because it's relevant to our podcast called Snoopy's Japanese Catchphrase.
Okay, tell me more.
Okay, what do you think Snoopy's catchphrase is? Can you think of something that you associate with Snoopy saying?
In English. I mean, in America? Not in,
yeah, yeah.
The only thing I would associate him is that weird thing he does. Oh wait, but it's supper time. He does do that little dance.
That's a good one. I was thinking like it was a dark and stormy night.
Oh yeah, that is actually a good, probably his most recognizable one.
Yeah, but no, you asked the Japanese about Snoopy, and this phrase comes up: "You play with the cards you're dealt," whatever that means.
Okay, wait. So the whole phrase is.
With the cards you're dealt, whatever that means.
Whatever that means is part of the catchphrase.
Yes!
Now, the thing about that is when I hear you say it, I can picture Snoopy saying that. I can see it as clear in my eye as a diamond. Snoopy in one of his personas as the World War I flying ace or... like a prospector in the gold rush. You know, when he does one of those things, and I can just see him at a card table, like playing the cards and thinking that as that phrase. But I can't imagine there being enough situations where that phrase would come up organically that it could possibly be called a catchphrase.
Well, you can get all kinds of Peanuts merchandise in Japan, which has Snoopy quoting this particular line. And it just seems so weird to us because he did, in fact, say it. He said it in a comic strip from 1991. So, and, you know, Much love to Sparky, but he was way past his prime at that point. That is not the kind of thing that, you know, I associate with Snoopy's personality.
And that was okay. So and this caught this resonated with the Japanese.
Yeah, it really did. And part of this apparently has to do with the fact that the Peanuts cartoons were translated by a famous Japanese poet who really put a lot of effort into capturing the English, you know, what the English phrase meant. And for some reason, you play with the cards you're dealt, whatever that means, is you search for the phrase, you play with the cards you're dealt on Twitter, and you will see Japanese people quoting it and attributing it to Snoopy.
Wow. Okay. So, well, I mean, I guess I can see why it would resonate, because it's a statement about life, you know, and being, you know, buffeted by the winds of fate. But at the same time, being aware of that, and yet also kind of unaware of the true extent of our powerlessness and what that means.
Yeah, it's a statement of, I mean, you know you're supposed to be wise, but you don't know what your wisdom even means.
Yeah. Or could it be even interpreted as Snoopy, you know, he's being dismissive of the whole thing. He understands his situation, but he refuses to accept it. So he's feigning ignorance. But that's his way of defying the universe. Yep. Snoopy is so many layers. Really makes you think.
Yeah. I was thinking about this a lot as I watched the special about Snoopy's reunion, because in many ways it feels like, you know, another facet of that, where it's another interpretation of Snoopy, because this is, you know, when you look at the Snoopy specials, you recognize that, you know, it's a different character because you don't hear his thoughts. And when you do hear his thoughts, they're being said by someone else. And which means that the context completely changes.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before in previous Snoopy episodes. Well, you know, the very striking decisions made in characterizing Snoopy in animated form.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, because a lot of other, it's like, if you were like, okay, how do we adapt Garfield into a movie, and they just, it's, that's Garfield, that's the same character. But with Snoopy, they're like, no, we're just, it's totally different.
They silenced him. Can you imagine if they'd done that with Garfield? If Garfield was just, you know, a mugging mime.
Yeah, it would just make those comic strips reality earlier, you know.
Yeah.
Not Garfield without Garfield, it was the before
the
that.
Arbuckle strips, yeah.
Yeah, which I think are way funnier, to be honest.
Yeah, they are.
It's like it's a function of the same thing. It's just that's what's really happening, because Garfield is a cat. You can't communicate. Like, actually, you have, you know what, though? I feel like most people can't communicate with their cats, because cats they're very subtle, you know?
Yeah.
And most people are like, you know, most people look at a cat and they're like, why isn't it acting like a dog? You know? So they misread cats all the time. People just cannot read their cats. I've been watching some Jackson Galaxy, so, you know. But
You're absolutely right. I mean, people are like, hey, my cat's wagging his tail. That means he's happy. Ow, he scratched me.
Yeah, exactly. Like that sort of thing all the time, you know? So
they don't know what the slow blink means.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't believe people, they get a cat and it's like, do you literally read, but when you buy the cat, buy one of those magazines at the pet store that say, like, you know, Cat Quarterly. And it is literally just, they never have a second issue. It's the same issue every time you go. It's just, they just do that, because literally all it does is tell you, what does a slow blink mean? What does the tail wag mean? You're buying a fucking cat. You're spending all this money. Spend the extra $2 to learn how to actually communicate with this thing, you know?
Of course, a lot of people don't buy a cat. They just have one, you know, born on their porch and they adopt it.
Oh, that's true. Well, still go and get the magazine. When
you take the cat
to the vet, they have it there too. Come on, people. Work with me. But I'm just saying, but my point is, like, when you think about it, John Arbuckle, he actually communicates very well with his cat. He reads Garfield really well, you know.
And he even says, I'm sorry, Garfield, sometimes I forget you can't talk.
Yeah, but I don't see anyone where Garfield has ever been forced to bite John.
No. Yeah, I've never seen. Yeah, points to Garfield. He's never bitten John, to my
Yeah,
knowledge.
like you never see John petting Garfield until he gets overstimulated and has to bite. He never does that. And he just he under he seems to actually understand his pets really well, despite being a nerd. Or maybe because he's a nerd.
Yep.
Anyway, we're speaking of Snoopy today.
Yeah,
We got off
Snoopy.
on
Yeah.
Garfield tangent.
Sorry.
This
Yeah,
was
so.
so Snoopy. Is this a special or is this an episode of the TV show?
It's a special, yeah. It was credited as the Charlie Brown and Snoopy show, but that's just what our source calls all the Peanut specials for some reason.
Okay, gotcha. This is a very Peanuts special.
Yeah. This is a special that actually begins on a dark and stormy night. And
Oh, yeah, it does, doesn't it?
at the end of this dark and stormy night, we zoom in on this farmhouse and which reveals a beagle mom with her eight newborn puppies. And we have just witnessed the birth of Snoopy.
So this was kind of funny because, it is the birth of Snoopy, like the birth of Venus. But he's no, so like this is the first is the Puppy Hill, the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm is v mentioned a lot in the comic strip.
Yeah, there are numerous stories about him going back to the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm. There's one where he goes there for to make a speech as like a beloved valedictorian or something like that. And then there's a riot.
It's funny. Several things about the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm. First of all, even though it's mentioned all the time in the comic strip and probably in the specials as well, I always thought it was bad when I was a kid. Like, I thought it was a bad thing that Charlie Brown would threaten to send Snoopy back to. Like,
Yeah.
now does he actually do that? Because as an adult,
Yeah.
I think, oh, he does. Okay,
Yeah,
because
there's
I
definitely
thought.
one where he says, one little phone call and I could send you right back where you came from. And Snoopy just brings him the phone, like, fucking dare you, asshole.
Because I was wondering as an adult if I had just mixed it up with the Golden Girls when they always try to threaten what Sophia with Shady Acres or Shady Pines. Sorry, Shady Pines. The retirement, the rest home. But the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm also does not, now that I've seen it, does not look what I thought it was at all.
It's not a puppy mill.
Yeah, it's like a mom and pop puppy farm, Like
Yes.
it's a literal farm.
It's a lovely little farm. It's the proverbial nice farm with lots of room to run around. So, did you know that
Yes.
dogs actually come from those, in addition to going there to die?
It's like Mormonism. You hang out in heaven before you're born and after you die.
And the funny thing about the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm is that it's a puppy farm, but they employ one bitch.
It's a very small farm. It's
It's a
literally
very
a
small farm.
it's literally a mom and pop farm. My theory is that farmer is Snoopy's dad. Which would explain why Snoopy has so many bizarre human characteristics that Charlie Brown notes are not normal for a dog.
So
Um,
he's a
it's
hybrid,
he is a
yes.
hybrid. He's like the chimp man, the legendary Oliver the Chimpanzee, except, a dog. So he is what would you call a man dog? Like a Knoll, I guess?
Oh yeah, that's a knoll or sometimes a oh, what do you call those other things? The ones that are sometimes dragons.
You mean the kobolds?
Yeah, kobolds are sometimes prefer look like dogs, I think.
That's true, they do. Yeah, it's so weird. Everyone's like, yeah, everyone does the Dungeon Dragons kobolds, Yeah, it's because they caught on. So everyone's doing the like little sexy dragons. Maybe that's just the circles I run in, because everyone's drawing these little like, oh, everyone's like, everyone knows that kobolds have gigantic, th sexy thighs. And I'm like, I didn't know that we agreed on this, but okay. I mean, I'm not gonna object, because everyone's just drawing them that way, because haunches, right? But anyway, but because everyone's, oh, haunches, it's a deep cut for. the longtime listeners will be, I guess.
Like really long time, like from Mike's last podcast.
Yeah, literally the before times, the puppet times.
Yeah. Can you that's believe another... that now you were, that now it was the puppet times when you're defining the puppet times?
Oh my God, what a world. To be young, you know.
And a puppet,
exactly.
For Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio came out today. I'm so excited for that.
Oh, is it about being young? It is, to be young and a puppet.
Yes.
To be young and a puppet. Oh, that's is it going to be as good as the one with the himbo Pinocchio, though?
We'll find out, but I can't imagine it being worse.
Father, when can I leave this farm? But my point about kobolds, now I'm like I got to backtrack like three diversions ago. The point about kobolds is that everyone thinks of as Dungeon Dragons, so they're either little dragons or little dogs. But like I grew up, kobolds all look like fucking Pumuckle. So they're like a little sailor man, a little sailor, with little redheaded sailor. That's what I always think of as a kobold. So it's always weird when people are like, here's my sexy kobold story. And it's like, oh yeah, that's right. Kobolds are different now.
Yeah, it's like learning that in other countries, like the, I don't know, Grimace is a sexy creature.
Which nation, which of our sister nations has moved that far from God's grace that Grimace is sexy now?
Ironically, it's Mexico.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
I was about to say, like, interesting. I gotta Google Mexican Grimace. Anyway, what do they have in Mexican McDonald's? Do they just have the same as American McDonald's? They probably
do.
I don't know about
Mexican McDonald's, but of course everyone got very excited when they learned that the Portuguese or Brazilian McDonald's has a sandwich called the McPrego.
Oh, I bet that. Oh, that's very interesting.
Yes.
It's like, I bet DeviantArt had a real field day with that one.
Oh, you have no idea.
They're like, oh no, everyone's going to McDonald's. It's like, hop in, losers, we're all going to get pregnant.
And then I saw a Burger King commercial from the same country with a woman coming in with a balloon under her skirt so she could order more hamburgers. And I'm like, what's going on over there?
Well, you know those Catholics.
If there's anything about them I approve of.
That's true. it's funny that in
Brazil, they know what's up.
Oh, you know, if you go to the McDonald's, you can get the McPrego, and then when you get your French fries, you can get some starch masks. Because starch is in the potato.
Yeah.
This is our Dada episode.
Our dog episode.
Our dog episode. We're doing a stream of consciousness like a James Joyce novel. Yeah.
But that's kind of what the special is like, too.
Nice save. Yes, it is. It is. But let's describe the Puppy Hill Farm, because the farm, it's literally a farm with one dog and nothing else, and a farmer.
And yeah, there's a farmer. Yeah, it's a big house for one farmer. I wonder if canonically he's supposed to be a widower, or they just probably didn't think that far. But
yeah,
you know, one thing that the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm seems to be missing is daisies. There's no flowers.
Oh, you know, you're right. Doesn't Daisy Hill, isn't that like a boot hill? Isn't that like where you, like a graveyard?
Really? Oh, I had never heard that.
Maybe I'm on crack. I could be incorrect about that. There's no, you're right. There's no daisies. I think actually it's kind of, that is especially funny considering that like clearly Schultz made the name Daisy Hill Puppy Farm in the comic strip and it refers to like a dog mill. But yeah. I feel like Bill Melendez saw the name and was like, puppy farm? Okay, let's literally Daisy Hill Puppy Farm. But he did it literally as in a farm on a hill that breeds puppies, but he forgot about the daisies. He was so one, close.
One litter at a time from from Snoopy's mother, whose name is Missy, apparently.
Oh, geez. You know, I just realized she doesn't return for the reunion. Is she canonically dead?
I don't know. It doesn't come. You know, I don't think there's. I don't think Snoopy ever went through the kind of tortures that Opus does over finding his mother.
That's true. You know, actually. Okay, sorry. I was about to say that farmer too. Is he dead?
We don't see either of them after this this opening sequence. Well, I guess we see them again after the part that was established in Snoopy Come Home, because apparently this is a prequel to Snoopy Come Home. This is the earliest canonical Peanuts story because it takes place before Charlie Brown has even adopted Snoopy.
It's there's a lot. I have some issues with this special.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, let's go ahead. We get some cute scenes of the puppies rolling around. There's eight of them in all, and we see them, you know, having a little bit of playtime, growing up together. How they have mealtime at like a buffet of dog biscuits.
Yeah. Well, you know, they raise these puppies well. They treat them right. Yeah. I really feel like, especially considering that he's letting some of these puppies go for like $5. Yeah. I feel okay. So there's eight puppies, assuming that it's about $5 each, that's $40 profit. How long does it take to breed a litter of puppies? Probably not that long, right? Because they have to be weaned, so it takes that's going to be a little time, because he's clearly breeding them right. And I don't know how many weeks old a puppy is before they can start playing instruments. So, which, you know, again, it's like, seems that'd be a major selling point for these dogs, that he should be able to command more than $5, even in what, 1960, whatever this is, when it was made.
Yeah.
They play instruments. That's not normal dog behavior.
No.
He could make a fortune on these things.
Those instruments, each one is probably worth as much as all eight puppies combined.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if the only reason he's probably not selling the dogs for more is he doesn't want to attract the attention of the authorities, who might start to question, you know, there's probably statutes against the way that he's breeding these dog human dog hybrids, you know.
But well, as we said, they do, in fact, play instruments. They form a sort of family band. And let's see, who plays what?
Well, Snoopy plays the guitar.
Yeah, Snoopy plays lead guitar. And I think it's Marbles who plays the banjo. Olaf is playing the jug, and he really loves that jug.
Yeah, who doesn't love jugs?
Yeah. not somebody who would go for McPrego's, but
well, you know, yeah, fair. Each their own.
Let's see. There are two female puppies. One is named Belle. I don't remember the other one's name.
Oh, the other one is Molly.
Molly, okay. And one of them is playing the mandolin, and the other one has a fiddle. Spike also has a fiddle.
Okay, yeah.
And the shaggy one, Andy, is playing the drums.
Okay.
And there's one more. I don't remember his name, but he's playing steel guitar. He's got the little steel bar up and down the strings going on. So it's a very kind of, you know, very countrified kind of family thing. It reminds me a little of The Jerk.
Mm.
Everyone out playing music on the porch.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what the last, Rover is that last one.
Rover? Oh, come on.
So apparently, of Rover and Molly were only in this special. It did not appear in the comic strip.
Yeah, I know we've seen, In the comics, Snoopy is one of a litter of five, I think. We've definitely seen Spike, Andy, Olaf, and Belle.
Why do they feel the need to add two more dogs? Because I feel like it's not like Molly and Rover really add that much.
No. That's really strange.
They were just like...
What's interesting when you look at all of them together is that, you know, despite our jokes, some of them have some elements that clearly indicate a different looking dog in their parentage. Three of them have the kind of sad, the half Garfield eyes. Spike has that, and so does Olaf. And some of them are brown too. So there must have been a brown and sleepy eyed dog who was their father or grandfather or something.
Yeah. Interesting. And oh wait, they probably just added two more because they needed a full band in this.
Yeah. Although you've got two fiddle players. Did you need two?
Maybe
one is like the viola or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that'd probably be Spike. He seems like he seems like the sort. Because You know what they say about viola players.
They live with Finn and have adventures.
No, they're very stupid.
I thought that was banjo players.
No, apparently this is a joke amongst orchestra people. Because they tell, like, what we would call blonde jokes, but about viola players. Because apparently the viola is supposed to be the easiest of the string instruments. Which, I mean, I wouldn't tell jokes with them because I can't play one. So
I can't either, but I've definitely heard more banjo player jokes.
Like, yeah.
Hey, what did the banjo player get on its SATs?
What?
Drool.
Ah, see, but I mean, I think, like, out in the general public, that makes more sense. Because we know what a banjo is, and if you think of a banjo player, you think of a hillbilly, you know? So it's like, yeah, I get it. That makes sense. It's a sort of thing that... But, you know, if you said to the general public, a viola player, and people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's like, no, because they're easy to play. Okay, if you say so.
Can you play one? Well...
Yeah, I mean, who knows? What a weird world. But, you know, every profession has its inside jokes, I guess.
Yeah,
you
know? That's true.
But anyway, so we've got these seven siblings who are all being adopted out, which to people.
Yeah. And also, well, the thing is, we see the farmer. Oh, this is an adult who talks on a Peanuts special. That's unusual.
Yeah, we actually have a number of adults who talk in this, and
this one breaks some rules.
It's weird because, like, I feel like it's weird because sometimes the rules are enforced and other times they aren't, and it feels kind of like weirdly arbitrary.
Yeah,
because we see, you know, what that girl who, the girl who originally adopted Snoopy.
Yeah,
what's her name?
I forgot
Does
her
she
name.
Have a name? Yeah, you know, this little shit who first adopts Snoopy, she arrives with her mother, and the mother is talking and visible when they're driving, which, first of all, I'm like, look, if you're going to break this rule at Peanuts, it seems like you should probably do, like, a necessary character. It's weird this is, like, you could have had this whole thing with just the girl talking to the off screen and the mother's answers being just implied. You didn't need to actually put her in here, but I guess they thought, well, in for a penny, in for a pound. We've already fucked things up with this farmer, so.
It would have been weird if the farmer could talk and then the mom was just...
That's true. It's funny because later on, when we see the girl talking to her mother is doing the, like, off-screen head thing. You know, like Cow and Chicken's parents.
Right.
And it's like, why are you doing that now? We saw her, like, literally, like, 5 minutes ago. We saw her face. We know what she looks like. Why are you playing keep away all of a sudden? You know,
it's like how there are a couple of Tom and Jerry cartoons where you can actually see Mammy Two Shoes' face.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, it's not very good, but I mean, she has a face.
Ooh, is it racist?
What do you think?
I don't care whose toes I step on. I mean, I may be being a little, you know, I may be taking on a limb, but I'm gonna guess, I'm gonna guess it's racist.
Well, I looked at it and It's kind of interesting because there's one specific shot of her where you see her running toward the camera. You know, she's like dressed up for a night out and she's running all the way home because Tom has made trouble or something. And you see her face from several different distances, but at a far distance, it's not racist. And then at a close distance, it is.
Oh, that's
two different artists, maybe? I don't know.
That's yeah. I see it on her Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
She's a partially seen character. Apparently. Yeah. Oh, interesting. So her first appearance is also the only one where you can see her face, it sounds like.
Oh, okay.
No, wait, I'm sorry. It's not. It's she her first appearance is Puss Gets the Boot. And you see her face in Saturday Evening Puss. The fact that Puss was in both those titles confused me.
Oh, and here's a comic book where you can see her face, and yeah, it's pretty bad too. But
oh, okay, well.
Whoa,
you know,
here's one where it's really bad. Jesus.
Oh no! Tom and Jerry, I can't believe you would do this. I can't believe that you would be racist like this. Actually, I do believe it because I remember there's one episode where, like, Tom blows up the house, and, like, Mammy Two Shoes is like, "Where's that Tom?" And Tom's got coal all over his face, so he does he does a racist
the
thing.
Mammy thing, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing the, he's doing the thing. I don't want to do the thing. I can't do the thing.
Let's not go into detail. You know what the thing is. You probably grew up in America. You know what the thing is.
You know the thing. Everyone knows the thing. It's a thing.
This one ain't
so
bad.
Hmm. Okay. We're going to, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, we're going to rate how racist every appearance of Mammy Two Shoes is. I mean, just by the fact she's named Mammy Two Shoes, every appearance is going to be a 10.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've always wondered if maybe you could bring her back with a little more, with a little more respect if you just called her Mrs. Two Shoes, but, you know.
Mrs. Two Shoes.
Mrs. Two Shoes, yeah.
Would that be okay? Is Two Shoes a racist thing?
No, she's called that because you can only see her shoes.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I literally did not know that. I thought it was some sort of, I don't know, crack about how black people have feet. Two of them? I mean,
they certainly do.
I mean, I don't
that
look,
cannot
I,
be denied. It's not racist to say black people have feet.
I don't want to stereotype, but I'm just saying a lot of black people, I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them, they got feet. Just saying. You know what I'm saying here.
This sounds like a BC strip from after Johnny Hart went way off the deep end. Black people got feet!
I just imagine just the BC strip where Thor is just explaining black people have feet. I just imagine the deluge of just the letter. People are like, I don't know what this means, but I'm very angry about it. I literally do not understand this, but I am 100% sure it's racist.
And I'm not saying tools of BC.
Yeah, I'm not even saying that people would be incorrect to like write those letters, because if I saw that in BC, I would be like 100% that's racist. I don't know what it means, but like that's racist, you know? I mean, it's like that's some sort of dog whistle that's so ultrasonic that like not even the Nazis can hear it, but it is definitely that's racist. Anyway, Snoopy goes home. Snoopy go home.
Snoopy, get the fuck out of here.
Snoopy, get out of my house. But Snoopy, so they all the dogs get adopted, even Spike, which is odd.
Spike gets taken away in a limo. That's an interesting touch.
So it seems that do you think Spike was subsequently abandoned or ran away, or his limo driver is, does he have an owner that we just never see?
No. Yeah. I think he must have gotten abandoned or something, because the next thing we see of him, he's living inside the hollow cactus from It's the Girl in the Red Truck, Charlie Brown.
Do you think the limos are the, was driven by the Needless Coyotes? that he's always supposed to be living with.
That would be really funny. He was adopted by coyotes.
I mean, they do always mention that he lives with coyotes. So maybe they're like his owners, you know?
Well, we don't see who actually picks him up, do we? We don't see
like, no.
a pair of hands.
God, that actually kind of adds a very grim dimension to this. That like the coyotes are like, we're going to go into the city. We're going to find one of our enslaved brothers and make him our slave.
God, it's like a creepy version of Amistad.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's just, oh, we're just blowing the lid off so many Snoopy conspiracies tonight.
Oh, wait, there it is. He did, in fact, get grabbed by a white kid.
Oh, okay. All right. So not any coyotes involved
in
this.
And we see the silhouette of the chauffeur, and it's a human. So no coyotes. Disappointing.
Okay. So he has either been abandoned or he's run away, it seems.
I feel like the limo might be like a reference to Citizen Kane.
That would make sense. I mean, that feels like the sort of thing Schultz would do.
Yeah, Schultz, he loved Citizen Kane.
Yeah. Nobody is adopted by someone driving a Zamboni, though. So no. This was an earlier special, I guess. Let's see.
Marbles gets adopted by someone who looks like a clean pig pen.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't he have he's got the little, the Band-Aid on his knee and everything.
Yeah.
Everyone gets adopted. Olaf is the last one.
Poor Olaf. Poor ugly Olaf.
Yeah, you know, they're really mean. Yeah, it's not fair. Mm-hmm.
And then Andy gets adopted, and I guess that's what Charles Schultz looks like, because Andy was his dog.
Oh. Interesting. I thought his dog was Spike.
He did have a dog named Spike, but in later years, in his later years when he was drawing Peanuts in the 90s, he had a dog named Andy, and that's why they introduced Andy the shaggy haired dog, because it resembled his dog.
Oh, okay. So they all get adopted,
and they're just grabbed off the floor of the shed as they're playing their jug band. And finally, it's just Olaf sitting there going, hoo, 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 hoo.
Yeah, they've got. So this all happens. This is a very long song, I guess, that they're playing.
Yeah. And finally, he's happy to be adopted because I guess there's nothing else to stay for.
Is it established in any other Peanuts media that they had the dogs have a band?
No, this has never come up to my knowledge.
Okay, so this is just a thing in this one.
One thing that's funny is that the farmer has to make a sign that says puppies for sale. It's a puppy farm. You don't just have one.
Maybe this is his first batch. Could be why he's so bad at this. He's like, he read on the internet, like, make easy money through puppy farming. And he's like, I'm getting in on that. It's like a crypto scheme. Well, actually, that does explain why it seems to have gone out of business very soon after this all happens.
Do seem to kind of be variants on each other, like an NFT drawing.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. God, has there been a Snoopy NFT yet?
I feel like. You know, they are not very choosy with what they allow you to license Snoopy out for. So I'd be surprised if there hadn't been one.
Yeah, I'm actually like wondering. It seems weird that I haven't seen it. Is there a Garfield NFT?
I hope not.
Because I feel like it's. I mean, again, what's his name? Our man, the man. Jim Davis. Thank you. It's not. Yeah, the man who makes Garfield. the man we talk about every
Garfield
episode
himself.
Garfield himself, and I can't remember his name. The man. So Jim Davis, he loves money. I mean, he loves it. He let them make Garfield Eats. So on the one hand, it seems unthinkable that he would let an opportunity like NFTs pass him by. But at the same time, Jim Davis is also very, very savvy, and he can really read the wind. And if anyone could see, oh yeah, this is a scam that's gonna blow up in my face, it would be Jim Davis. So I could not predict whether there would be an official Garfield NFT or not, based on thinking about Jim Davis and how I guess I could find out by actually looking.
Yeah, I feel like he looked at Nathan Masry and was like, I'm going to be able to avoid all responsibility for this, right? All right, you're a smart kid. Let's we'll go ahead and do the restaurant. But an NFT is something totally different because that can ruin your reputation.
So let's see. Wait. Okay, Garfield is apparently, it's not, I don't know if there's Garfield NFT. There is apparently a Garfield coin.
Garfield coin?
It's called Garfield Token. It's a community-driven token running on the Ethereum network. Garfield ecosystem will have play-to-earn game, NFTs, and much more. It has 206 followers, and I honestly would be extremely shocked if this is licensed at all. I feel like this is just someone who just grabbed Garfield and, you know, is using it without Jim Davis's permission, since yeah, that I'm is sure. rife in this in the sphere.
Life in the United States.
Yes. Plus, if it look, and also plus, if Jim Davis is involved at all, he would not allow this Twitter to only have 206 followers. Mm. Jim Davis is a master of the advertising arts. He would use his wizard skills to make sure that this had like a million followers. So, Garfield token, I express doubt about the authenticity of this token. Anyway, Garfield. No, Garfield. We were talking about like Snoopy. So the Snoopy. Snoopy gets adopted by that girl.
Yeah, and what is that girl's name? I can never remember. Let's look it up. She's in Snoopy Come Home. Snoopy Come Home. The film marks the on-screen debut of Woodstock. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, Leela, that's her name.
Oh, okay. I really don't like this whole thing.
Yeah, it feels like they were having to sort of dance around the actual canon as set down by the strip. But at the same time, they're also rewriting the canon.
Yeah, it made me feel like in Misery when she gets really mad that, you know, he rewrote the end of the previous book.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not the way you cheated. That's cheating. Because, yeah, the canon was, why did she return Snoopy in the last one? It wasn't because of the apartment not allowing dogs, because they didn't realize until Snoopy went back to her that she was in an apartment that didn't allow dogs.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, I don't even think she lives in the same building as she did before. So
yeah,
she just moved to another apartment that also didn't allow dogs. So, but yeah, I don't think they actually explained why he left in the first place. But it is an important thing that happened in the strip where Lana says, "I did some research. Brace yourself, Charlie Brown. You are not Snoopy's original owner," and Charlie Brown falls down in a dead faint when he hears that.
I mean, I guess that would be kind of hard to take. I suppose.
The idea Snoopy had been judging him by the standards of his previous owner the whole time.
Yeah, I guess. Though it's like, honestly, a lot of people had dogs that belonged to previous owners, you know? Like, my cat had a previous owner.
Yeah. And now we just call that a rescue.
Yeah. So, let's see. I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, she was okay. Okay, so apparently in the comic, it was established that yes, she moved to an apartment building that did not allow dogs, and that's why she got rid of Snoopy.
Okay,
but I feel like that's not it in the special though.
No, in the special they just lived in an apartment that didn't allow dogs. I guess they didn't check.
Yeah. Yeah, well, whatever. Also, I don't like this whole thing because I mean, first of all, this doesn't have anything to do with the special. Like you said, they're just like, okay, we gotta acknowledge the previous canon, so stick this in. But this whole thing about, like, Snoopy having a previous owner already feels like it was jammed in afterwards, because it's like, because they keep talking about, like, oh, because Charlie Brown keeps talking about going to the Daisy Hill puppy farm to get Snoopy. And now that they've introduced this thing about Snoopy having a previous owner, then, you know, it makes no sense with the puppy farm. So they come up with this convoluted thing where they return Snoopy to the puppy farm. And it's like, you wouldn't do that. You would just try to adopt the dog out. And, you know, and then Charlie Brown would have probably gone to Leela directly and got Snoopy. But then he wouldn't be confused later on when she, you know, comes back and tries to, you know, reclaim Snoopy. Which, you know, is like, come on, what the fuck is up with that?
It's also been established in the comics that it wasn't Charlie Brown's idea to get a dog. Is that specific? The story that he tells is that he had lost his very first baseball game, and he was just inconsolable, and his parents picked him up, and they took him to the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm, and that's where he picked out Snoopy.
Oh, you're right, actually. Yeah, you're right. So that changes this. Oh my god, I hope someone got fired over this blunder. Everything's being this. There's rewriting history. This is revisionist history. We got to get this out of our schools. The kids don't even know how Snoopy originally got adopted. Terrible. I really don't like this whole like thing about like this previous owner because. And this may be just my feelings on it. I keep changing my thoughts about Peanuts and specifically about Snoopy. I waffle a lot on this. Sometimes I'm pro Peanuts. Sometimes I'm anti Peanuts. You know, it's not like Garfield where I'm pretty much like I'm always in the Garfield camp. But
even when Garfield fails, it's still spectacular. Like yes, you know, like Garfield gets a life.
Yeah. So Garfield, you know, I'm always Garfield's fine. He's good. He's a good guy, that Garfield. Snoopy, I mean, even when I like Peanuts, even when I'm okay with, you know, the franchise and the comic, I don't like Snoopy as a character. I feel like he's ungrateful. He's in just a very, I don't know, he's very cynical towards Charlie Brown. He doesn't ever seem to have much affection for Charlie Brown. He seems to have less affection for Charlie Brown than Garfield has for John. And that's
you think
not.
So I think they're about the same.
I mean, I feel like Garfield respects John more,
really,
than Snoopy respects Charlie Brown.
I think
you
it's
know?
Because Snoopy has more independence.
That's true. Like I feel like it. At least Garfield has the courtesy to refer to John by his true name, as opposed to just being, you know, like
that
Snoopy.
Roundheaded kid. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing I think that I find like always sad about like that Charlie Brown, just even Snoopy is disdainful of him. And but I mean, that's not always the case. We have moments where we see some affection and that breaks through. But yeah. I always feel like this. Subplot about this previous owner, it always just makes it feel like, you know, like Snoopy is like, yeah, exactly. It's like,
the
oh,
idea
my
that Charlie Brown is his second choice, if a choice at all.
Yeah. And it always feels like, oh, Charlie, Snoopy clearly is like, well, yeah, Leela's my real owner, you know?
Yeah,
Charlie Brown
regards Charlie Brown as like a not too close stepfather.
Yeah, sometimes. He's like, Charlie Brown's a meal ticket, you know, but Leela's the owner. So that's why I just don't like when she's brought up, because I'm like, you know, I'm already depressed enough whenever I watch Peanuts. I don't need this extra layer. So I'm not a fan of that thing. Yeah. But
and I really do like the moment, you know, when we watched it, I talked about how much I liked the scene in A Boy Named Charlie Brown where Charlie Brown and Snoopy see each other in New York and they're so happy they do a dance together. And because that really feels like, you know, Snoopy putting aside his pride and showing how much he cares about Charlie Brown.
And, yeah. When it happens,
you know,
it's good.
Charlie Brown is always, vulnerable, and that's what makes him Charlie Brown. And Snoopy is, the thing is, Snoopy is always cool, but it's always an act. Snoopy has built this personality for himself of being detached, but it's no more the real him than the World War One Flying Ace or Joe Cool are. You know, he has vulnerability and he doesn't want to show it, possibly because he's been rejected once.
Wow. Oh, yeah. You know, that makes Snoopy's just too proud to let Charlie Brown get close to him. Yep. Oh, God.
It's such hurt again.
Such pathos. Maybe I've misjudged Snoopy all this time when I thought he was being an asshole, but it's all because he's just afraid to love.
But I mean, that's why it's good to have Woodstock with him, because Woodstock is always, you know, he's never afraid to show his affection for Woodstock. He'll, you know, he hugs him even when he does kind of rude things like wring him out from the rain.
Yeah. Oh, so they all, what happened? They all got adopted.
They all got adopted, and now we have Charlie Brown going to the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm and putting down the $5 from his piggy bank to purchase Snoopy. And we see Snoopy for the first time huddled against the jug that that Olaf had left there. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, how come Olaf didn't bring his jug? And then I was like, wait a minute, Snoopy, you had a guitar when you got adopted out. Did Leela keep your guitar?
Oh my God.
That
oh
bitch!
Shit. You know what I just realized? Do you think that's what happened? Because like Spike, he got adopted just to get his instruments and then they abandoned him? Is that what happened to all these dogs? They're all adopted just so people get the instruments? Because a lot of them look like they're living alone in their own little houses, to be honest, you know?
Yeah. They adopted you and took your stuff and it's like, shit, what's his name? Uncle Fester.
Jackie
Coogan. His parents spent all of his money and kicked him out.
Oh my God. You know what? Yeah, this actually makes sense, because you did say that like that those instruments are worth more than the dogs. So think about it. It's like, oh, I'm going to go to this this farm. I got to get the guitar. Well, if you go to this farm, you can get it for $5 and they throw in a free dog. So it's like, all right, sure.
And you know, those instruments don't come cheap. I mean, my mom plays a fiddle that's worth about, you know, $900.
$900? Jeez.
She doesn't even play the fiddle that well.
Did she win this? Is this fiddle made of gold and she won it in a contest against the devil?
No, she's had it since she was very young, and we are lucky enough to know a luthier who restored it for her. And well, he was like, ooh, wow, this is nicer than the one I play.
Is that what they call a fiddle restorer?
A fiddle restorer, or a maker of lutes, a luthier.
Okay.
Somebody who makes stringed instruments, which is kind of,
wow.
This is kind of also what my dad is turning to, because I don't think I mentioned this on the podcast, but my dad was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. So he has the hand that he fingers with shakes a lot, and it's not as easy for him to play as he used to. So now he is trying to focus on making instruments rather than playing them. And I hope this works out for him. It's terrible seeing him lose something that was so much a part of him, but he hasn't lost it all. He still plays. So
that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And yeah, it should be interesting to see, cause making instruments is, yeah, it's a whole new skill.
Yeah. But he's done it before. He plays a guitar that he made himself when he was in his 20s.
Oh, wow. So, wow.
Yeah.
He is one of the original freaks. So
that's,
it's only
right,
appropriate, you know? Well, you know, if he ever needs a new one, he can go adopt a dog.
we'll look into it.
What happens?
Yeah, after this we have Charlie Brown bringing Snoopy home, and we have a bunch of little scenes of him getting to know Snoopy and how Snoopy is, you know, not like other dogs. He commands He commands Snoopy to sit, and Snoopy gets comfortable in an easy chair. He commands Snoopy to speak, and he prepares his notes at a podium with a microphone. And so we just have a few scenes of Charlie Brown and Snoopy doing stuff together, playing mixed doubles and tennis together. And
as you do with a dog.
Yeah. I think some of these scenes come from other episodes. I see Snoopy whipping Charlie Brown while being pulled on the toboggan from What a Nightmare, Charlie Brown. But then we have Charlie Brown being worried about Snoopy because he's just, you know, he gets these melancholy moments. And that's when Charlie Brown gets the idea that, you know, maybe he misses his family. Maybe we should try and get them back together. And it kind of comes out of nowhere, honestly.
Yeah, it was funny because the way that this was described, you know, like, oh, Snoopy, he gets these melancholy moments. Maybe he misses his family. I was kind of expecting, we need to track down the family. But it's literally like, no, just send a letter. We know where they all are. So it's like, yeah. Well, it's like, in that case, if you miss them, why don't you just do this?
Why didn't Snoopy do this himself?
Yeah, it's like, well, we've had Snoopy for 4 years and he's get these periodic depressions. Okay. He never thought maybe, you know.
Maybe do this.
Yeah, I mean, they're just guessing because Snoopy hasn't actually expressed that he has any interest in reconnecting with his family. But I guess they seem to have guessed right. So
yeah,
I guess
it feels like somebody checked the title of the episode and they're like, hey, this is Snoopy's reunion. Let's have a reunion.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of like a random thing where they're like, oh, yeah, we'll get them all together. So they invite all the other dogs, not Snoopy's mother. So
no.
But she's...
So we don't know about her. Well, the plan was to go to the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm. They were assuming that that she would just be there.
I mean, again, well, there's a lot going on with that.
I don't know. I'm kind of thinking of the Muppet Christmas special where they all just show up at Fozzie's mom's house.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. It's just a little grimmer, you know. It's like where it's like, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I haven't had contact with my mother for 4 years. I really miss her, and
I'll just drop in. I'm sure she's fine.
I'll just drop in, and I'm sure she's not missing in her house, demolished. You know, and this, you know, it's one thing if you're like estranged or something, but otherwise, I feel like. I mean, I would say that, like, I would forgive Snoopy on this if this was a situation like Opus or Garfield, where it is established that they are not in contact. They don't even know really who their mothers are before these adventures they go on. But Snoopy knows he's from the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm, and he knows where all his brothers and sisters are. And, I mean, this keeps getting weirder, because if... You know, because I was in the strip when they keep talking about the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm, it's assumed it's a puppy mill, so Snoopy doesn't really know his origins. And maybe he knows some litter mates, but now with this thing, his mother's actually introduced, so he knows her and remembers her. And and she knows she's on this farm, and he misses her, but he hasn't thought to actually like try and get in touch with her. Or, I don't know, maybe actually I'm wrong. Maybe all these siblings, all these dogs resent their mother because she sold them off, you know?
It didn't seem to be her idea, but yeah.
It's, I mean, it's true, kind of puzzling. True. Yeah. Well, we don't know the dog. They might have been too young to understand that.
Yeah. And like you said, what's really weird here is that Snoopy seems to be the only one with an odor. The others all have their own homes. Olaf has a mailbox with his own name on it.
Yeah, Snoopy is the only one who bends the knee.
Yeah. Not only does Olaf have a mailbox with his name on it, he lives in a house that is decorated in a jug theme. He has curtains with jugs on them and a lampshade with a jug on them and a wall of jugs. He is so into playing the jug. That is his thing.
He just loves jugs. This man.
Big, heavy jugs.
If ever there was a juggalo, it's Olaf.
And then we get to see Belle, and she's wearing a dress. All the others are nude.
Oh, no, Molly's wearing a dress, too. So the girl dogs have to wear clothes.
The two female dogs have to wear, so you can't see their significantly less visible genitals than the male dogs?
I guess it's just that, it's that weird thing, you know, in our culture where the female body is inherently sexual, while the male is inherently desexualized, you know, because of the male gaze and everything, which is weird because, especially like you said, it's like they're all cartoon dogs. They're, none of them have any sex characteristics, primary or secondary. And if they did, you know, they would have much less visible ones. Well, I guess they'd have six rows of nipples as well. But like, you know, we wouldn't see that unless they were engorged because they were nursing. I don't think. Dogs don't usually have visible tits. So even then you wouldn't see anything. So it doesn't make any sense.
And we saw Missy nursing and she didn't have any engorged teats.
Yeah, exactly. So this is just preposterous. But it's, again, it's an example of how, in our society, it's fine for, Donald Duck to walk around without any pants on. But Daisy Duck, her lower quarters have to turn into a weird kind of quasi skirt. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
And like, because she's kind of naked, but she's also kind of not, you know? Like, she's got weird little frills that look like a hemline, if you know what I mean.
I have a soft spot for our friend. I think it was one of our friends came up with the idea that Mickey and Minnie are actually completely identical, and every morning they flip a coin to decide who's going to be Mickey and who's going to be Minnie that day.
I like that. I mean, also, it makes sense, you know? It's like those bats in Pogo. They probably do the same. You know what? They all probably do that, you know? The nephews, too.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, Donald and Daisy, what are the two mouse nephews? He's got two nephews, too. Morty and Ferdy.
Yeah. Popeye, Peepeye, Poopeye, and Pupeye.
Yeah. Or, you
know,
they all
dress identical anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. But do you think, like, Goofy and Pluto switch off?
Oh, wow. That would be interesting. Maybe that's the introduction. Maybe that's the story behind Max, is that he just, you know, he adopted a dog and raised it to humanity.
Oh, my God. It's like
he uplifted his own adoptee.
Oh, my God. I can't even think of stuff. There's got to be something where someone does that, right?
I mean, I guess, you know, once again, Adventure Time, the whole thing with, wait, are you my dad? No, but I did steal your egg and mutate your brain.
Wasn't there some thing where they were raising an animal, like, as a human and be like, this will work?
Oh, the Country Bears?
Oh, you're right. That was that was a plot of the Country Bears.
Disney's Teacher's Pet, maybe?
Yeah. Okay, so there are a couple of things, but
the Chipmunks.
Oh, yes, the Chipmunks. There you go. Ross Bagnazarian strikes again. why were we talking about this?
I don't remember. Anyway, the reunion is happening now.
They take a bus to Daisy Hill, and the bus driver talks as well.
Yeah. The bus driver talks and he's like, this is Daisy Hill. This is your stop. Oh, everyone's got their instruments back. So I guess they didn't lose them all.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I guess they're going to go play instruments again.
They wanted to have a reunion, and this was, I guess, the most fun they had as pups. So they all get on a bus that's right in front of Charlie Brown's house. You know, one of those incredibly convenient buses that only happens on TV, where, I don't know about you, but I had to walk about 8 blocks to get to the stop for my school bus.
Yeah, well, that's because we live in America.
Peanuts land.
Yeah, I did think it was funny when, like, Charlie Brown is eating, I guess, breakfast, and Sally runs in. She's all like, they're here, all Snoopy's relatives. And Charlie Brown is just like, and she's like, a whole herd of dogs. Dogs? I mean, the way Charlie Brown is like, dogs? It's like, Charlie
what
Brown,
in the
were you
world
not...
are dogs?
Were you not aware that Snoopy's relatives were dogs? Did you think that, I mean, did you think that he, you know what? Maybe Charlie Brown sussed out what I thought earlier, that Snoopy is part human. And he's like, oh, the rest of his relatives are probably humans too. So he sees dogs and he's like genuinely shocked. But then he's just like, okay, here's a plan. We're going to take the bus and we're going to go to the Naziel puppy farm and, you know, see your mom, who's definitely there, not dead. And so they go there. But it turns out that the Daisy Hill puppy farm, or the stop, Daisy Hill, it's like a parking garage now. And
yeah, in the space of 4 years, this area has gotten really developed.
Yeah. So Charlie Brown kind of digs around in a big trash heap and finds the puppy for sale sign. And, you know, it's he realizes that the Daisy Hill puppy farm is no more. And the farmer and Snoopy's mom are probably dead. He's all depressed about it because he's Charlie Brown.
They were probably shot for the property.
But then I think they have they play their instruments and they realize the true treasure was friendship and dream.
Rub and peace. Yeah, they're just playing in the band as they always did on the sidewalk. So I mean that's. You know, what was important was getting back together, not the actual place.
But yeah, getting the band back together.
Yeah. But it's sort of weird. This is what I was talking about with reassigning voices. Because in the original comic strip where Snoopy returns to the Daisy Hill puppy farm and finds that it's been knocked down to make a parking lot, he's the one who yells, "You stupid cars! You're parking all over my memories!"
It's very different when Charlie Brown says it.
Yeah, it seems like he's concerned, you know, it seems like his concerns are completely unfounded because Snoopy is just like, whatever. But yeah, they changed Snoopy's personality by muting him so much that, you know, it's almost as if his something like, saying you play with the cards you're dealt, whatever that means. It's everything is completely out of context and it makes for a totally different character.
Man, has it ever been discussed why they chose to make Snoopy a mute character in the specials?
Oh yeah, it's like it wouldn't have been my choice. I'm a big fan of the comics, and you know, it seems so weird to not have Snoopy's very specific voice in these, you know, because when you read a Peanuts strip, you know, you read enough of them and you learn how Snoopy talks and how it's different from everyone else. And, you know, it's like he's been left out. It's like he's not part of the story in these, even though so many of them are ostensibly about Snoopy.
I was trying to Google why doesn't Snoopy talk, because I thought, like, since we are a podcast about comic strips being adapted to films, it would behoove us to actually know the answer to this, if such an answer existed, because we would look quite the fool if we didn't answer this extremely basic question about our source material. And the first Google result is an article from The Atlantic called "The Exemplary Narcissism of Snoopy." Some of Charles Schulz fans blame the cartoon dog for ruining Peanuts. Here's why they're wrong. Now, I haven't even read this article, but I would question that any Peanuts fan is like, "Oh, I really hate Snoopy. He really ruined Peanuts once Snoopy showed up on what, day 4? I don't know."
Yeah. He's always been there.
Yeah, that seems very strange. But so I'm not going to even bother looking at that because it doesn't seem to give me the answer. Like, come on, why isn't Snoopy taught?
The journalist and critic Christopher Caldwell wrote in 2000, "It's tough to fix the exact date when Snoopy went from being the strip's besetting artistic weakness to ruining it altogether."
Okay.
And he says, "Snoopy was never a full participant in the tangle of relationships that drove Peanuts in its golden age. He couldn't be. He doesn't talk, and therefore he doesn't interact. He's there to be looked at." That sounds like he's just... That sounds like the words of somebody who has watched the cartoons but not read the strip.
Yeah.
It's very puzzling.
I feel like this person may not be a real Peanuts fan.
Yeah. Well, I hate to be a gatekeeper, but yeah.
It's like, yeah, there's going to be some drama in the Peanuts fandom tonight.
Schultz himself said that introducing Snoopy's relatives had been a blunder. It destroyed the relationship Snoopy has with the kids, which is a very strange relationship.
Yeah, no, actually, I can see that because I feel like I feel like Spike is like a character in his own right. But these other ones feel like they were just kind of added, like, whatever, just why not, you know? Yeah, and then he's like,
these are just characters created to have more characters to print on a set of Peanuts pajama pants.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like they just are, they're there, but they, you know, they're like, they were there for like a gag, and then it's like, oh, well, they're canon now, so I got to keep bringing them back. And it's like, nobody cares about any of these characters, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to keep bringing characters back. You didn't bring back Farron.
Yeah, he's trying to do the Hanna-Barbera thing where he's like, I need to keep the copyright. You kids, you're gonna get Yankee Doodle and Yankee Doodle.
Oh, Yankee. You mean the one who was renamed Chemical Castration?
What? What?
That was the plot of a Harvey Birdman episode. Yaki Doodle went to court to change his name, but they accidentally swapped the envelope with his name with the envelope with the sentence that was being handed down in another court. So his new name ended up being Chemical Castration.
Oh, okay, I didn't remember that. I couldn't even remember his first name, so I was like, I was trying to explain, like, you know, Yankee Doodle, you know.
It's not
Yankee Doodle. What's his name? It's Yaki Doodle.
Yaki Doodle. Yeah. I've never seen a cartoon with this character.
First of all, terrible character. Terrible character. It's like, I don't even know what
name.
Yeah. And bad name. But also he's like, he's a duck. He's a little like little duckling. He's annoying. He's a little duck who does cute things and a wolf will try to catch him and he'll just like, you know, mess up and speak in a faux Donald Duck voice. But it's like, okay, first of all, that's all sucks. But secondly, Yaki Doodle, that's not even...
I feel like they were trying to go for Quacky Doodle, and it was probably already copyrighted.
Yeah, like, that would be better, because then, oh, shit, but if you do Quacky Doodle, you should make him look like, you know, one of those totem poles from, you know, the Pacific Northwest. Like, was it Quacky Yodel, I think, or...
Quacky Yodel, is that how you pronounce it? Oh.
I think, I'm not sure. Sound off in the comments if you know how to pronounce that word.
Yeah, I don't know the word for the totem pole. I know that the Northwest Coast Indians who are best known for making them are the Tlingit, I believe.
Okay. I may be on crack with this, and I hope that I'm not just saying something racist. If I am, I apologize because I also might be getting this all mixed up with Quetzalcoatl.
Oh, Quetzalcoatl.
Quetzalcoatl?
The feathered boa.
Yeah, which is not from the Pacific Northwest at all.
No, that's from Mexico, yeah.
Yes, but I just, these names all sound like Quacky Doodle. They sound similar is what I'm saying. Anyway,
I love the idea of Wacky Doodle being reimagined as a Quetzalcoatl.
I mean, that would be much better than what they did. It's a
terrible
cartoon.
Either the dinosaur
or
the mythical creature.
Yeah, it's an awful cartoon. Nobody likes Yaki Doodle. Nobody wants Yaki Doodle. But my point is, Hanna-Barbera is like, we made this character. We are going to keep shoving these cartoons down your craw. You want, have some Loopy de Loo. Yeah, that's what everyone wants. Yeah. Fucking Loopy de Loo. Actually, now they do, because she's really cool in the new Jellystone series.
Oh.
But the original Loopy de Loop, no one gives a shit about. No one cares about the original Peter Potamus or Hardy Har Har. These are terrible characters. There's no comedic potential. But Hanna-Barbera was like, we need to keep the copyright fresh. Make more, I don't know, maybe...
So these characters are all on Jellystone?
They're all on Jellystone, yeah. Oh.
Is Quickie Koala there?
I think so. They have all of them on Jellystone. Jellystone is an improvement.
The last Tex Avery character.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's, I think, maybe Queenie? I don't know. I'd have to look it up, actually. It's been a while. But anyway, that's why they also put all these new Snoopies in this thing. It feels like keep bringing them back for copyright purposes.
Yeah. But
nobody cares.
Yeah. No, nope. I mean, there is a certain kind of fandom that is, I think it's kind of controversial, which is the fandom where you don't experience the actual media. You just experience it digested for you in wiki form. Mm. And that, I think, is what really appeals to this, is like, oh boy, more characters to put under bullet points.
Gotta catch them all.
Well, yeah, exactly. There's this, there are a lot of people who are more interested in, the classification of information than enjoying what it is based on. And, I can't tell you how to play with your own toys, but, maybe you should actually watch the stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you might enjoy it. You might. So if you're going to go to the Peanuts Wiki, you'll have fun with all these extra dogs, but
yeah.
For normal people, the real fans, one dog was enough.
Two. I don't mind Spike.
Yeah, Spike. Well, because Spike is, I believe, he's a character.
He's a character in his own right. The rest of them are just kind of icons.
Yeah.
Like I said, they're like NFTs. They're like if you traced Snoopy and then added a dress.
Yep. Yeah, because I believe that if there's any Peanuts fans survey Peanuts fans, there would be some who would say Spike is their favorite character. I believe that. Nobody is going to say Marbles is my favorite character.
I love when Andy shows up and doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my favorite Peanuts character is Rover.
Ever appeared once to play guitar. I guess if you played the steel guitar, maybe he'd be your favorite character.
That's why we're gonna catch all the fake Peanuts fans. We're gonna do a honey trap. We'll just be like, oh yeah, my favorite character is Rover, and they'll be like, yeah, oh yeah, we love that character. Jokes on you, nobody loves that character.
It turns out they didn't even know Snoopy's name and thought his name was Rover.
Oh well, I mean, it is a common dog name, name for dogs.
A drink for dogs.
Yeah, it's like, you should here, bitch, take this dog, dog name, a name for dogs. It is a name for dogs. Here you go, dog. Have a name. Give me a name. Wait a second. I just realized. So Snoopy got his name on the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm.
So he isn't actually known for snooping.
Yeah, Charlie Brown didn't even name him.
No, he'd had that name from birth, apparently. I guess Missy came up with the names and relayed them to the old farmer somehow.
Assigned Snoopy at birth. ASAP.
ASAP,
yeah. Wait, Snoopies are bastards. Yeah, all Snoopies are bastards. Oh, that's so true, though. Fuck Snoopy. So they do do a band, right? They perform at the parking garage, and then they go home. That's pretty much it, I think.
Yeah, then they go home, and they don't go home on the bus. They go home on the Sopwith Camel. And that's an interesting little blurring of reality there, is all the dogs clamber onto the doghouse, and Linus and Charlie Brown go inside, and they don't see what happens, but the next thing they know, the whole house is being shaken like a plane just touched down. And they look outside, and Snoopy is leaning against his doghouse, picking his teeth. And I'm like, what, did he eat them?
I mean, that certainly is what is being implied. Is some... I assume that on the big cartoon website, they've edited this clip very slightly.
Just add a belch as it fades out.
And that's really all you need to do. So I thought this thing was really funny because Charlie Brown is like, "How are you gonna get home?" And it's like, "What do you? Why are you asking them? They arrived. Presumably, they'll go home the same way. You're acting like it's a mystery." But yeah, like you said, they don't go home the same way. But it's also funny because then he asks that question. They all jump on top of the doghouse, and Linus and Charlie Brown just immediately leave. Like they have completely lost interest in the answer to their question. They're just like, because, if I had, let me just say, if I was in this situation where I had just curated a family reunion for my dog that involved all my dog's relatives who had arrived, by themselves on a bus carrying musical instruments, which they could play. And then I was like, all right, how are you dogs getting at home? Presumably not on the bus for some reason, but some other way. And then in response to my question, all the dogs jumped on top of my dog's doghouse, and my dog put on a World War I Flying Ace hat. And I feel like at that moment, I wouldn't be like, yeah, I'm not really interested anymore. I'm just gonna leave. I
I
mean,
mean, come on. We know what happens when a child's dog's family comes to town.
the. You're acting like I don't. That guy does penis now.
Yeah, good for him. I'm glad.
I mean, those were pretty funny. So,
Yeah.
but actually, maybe this makes sense. Maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way. Maybe Linus and Charlie Brown were like, okay, we know what's about to happen. We need to leave for denial, for plausible deniability. Because
Yeah, that's
if.
why they go inside and don't do anything. They just sit down on a chair and wait.
Yeah. Wait. They knew it was gonna happen. They knew Snoopy was just gonna eat them all. I'm like, we can't. It's like we cannot
Can't
be.
bear to watch.
Yeah, they're like the dad in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre who's like, you beat these teenagers to death. I'm just gonna stand over here and like stare out the door.
Well, now we know what happened to Missy and the farmer, don't we?
Oh my God. Oh my God, you're right. Snoopy, that's when Snoopy ate them while Linus was checking those records, God, Leela really dodged a bullet, didn't she? She's the
Yeah,
only
wow.
one from Snoopy's past that lived to tell about it.
Now that's fundamental friend dependability.
Yeah. Man, think about like the mortal danger that Charlie Brown lives his life in, and he has no idea.
Well, I guess this shows that Snoopy respects him more than we realized. He doesn't hate him.
I mean that's true. That's true. Maybe he just is like, oh no, I want to eat this roundhead kid. I don't even respect him enough for his food. He's just
The hair is where all
anyway.
the flavor is.
I mean, yeah, everyone knows that. Anyway, thanks for joining for our sexy vor Snoopy vor episode. Is there so? But that's how, basically how it ends with Snoopy eating his relatives, or possibly. Is there anything else that we should say about Snoopy's family reunion?
Well, we never saw them again.
Oh, is this the final appearance of all these dogs?
Actually, there might be more appearances from Spike now that I think about it. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I don't think they did anything more with Snoopy's, well, I mean, two of them we definitely never saw again. We never saw Molly and Rover. Is that it?
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess it's gonna be a mystery.
Yeah. It's a mystery, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, but he didn't solve this mystery. He solved the lame one.
Yeah. Oh, this is one that Bill and Murray wouldn't work with. Snoopy's reunion. Yeah, Charlie Brown, Snoopy's reunion.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Darn. Old chestnut, but a welcome one. So if you ever bring them back, it'll have to be Snoopy's regurgitation.
Ooh, hot.